big Hollywood show of the year is here.
This is like a quality production.
Sorry, gang, we had a slight technical problem.
And we're in business.
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Good morning, it is Peter Tilden at 10. I am brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep, where they will beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. And of course, American Vision Windows. The windows are amazing, and so many people at the station have those windows because it keeps out the heat, keeps out the noise. It's the most incredible installation that you have ever seen. Engineer Steve says he doesn't even feel the heat till late in the day, so he doesn't have to turn on the air conditioning. Saves you up to 30% on your utility bill. It's amazing. Go to kbc.com, keyword windows, to see my installation, and then get yourself some, because it's going to save you money. So much to discuss today. So many stories to discuss today. Lots of moving parts in politics. I'd love to get your reaction to what's going on, and I'd love to get Jack Abramoff's reaction, former lobbyist, businessman, movie producer, and an author of Capital Punishment, The Hard Truth About Washington Corruption from America's Most Notorious Lobbyists. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Peter.
So let's start with, because there's so much to go through, Trump gave a speech last night, but it seems to be overshadowed today by the fact that there's either, you can either call it a shakeup, some media is reporting as a shakeup. His camp is calling it an expansion because Donald Trump, his quote was, "I want to win, and these are the right people to win." Supposedly, Paul Manafort has either been demoted or he will keep the job that he has now, but they brought in some other people. And I don't know if you know these guys. Stephen Bannon, who was the CEO of Breitbart News, actually a Goldman Sachs guy. And what's interesting, he also, I think, was responsible for handling the sale of Castle Rock, which owns Seinfeld. So he had a hand in the Seinfeld syndication on some level. Do you know the guy? Is this a good guy to bring in? And who does this kind of change up with 80-some days left before a general election?
Well, yeah, the people that are coming in, I mean, Steve Bannon is a very brilliant businessman and has revived and kept alive the Breitbart website and empire, in fact, expanded it greatly. And he's got tremendous talents. Whether he has talents in running a presidential campaign is a different discussion. I don't quite know, I don't think anyone does from the outside, what he's doing in the campaign, but he's certainly a bright guy. Kellyanne Conway, who is being brought in as the campaign manager, is an immensely talented pollster and analyst and has really been a champion in the Republican Party for more inclusion of women and other important things for the party. So Kellyanne is just absolutely brilliant. Everyone who deals with her is very impressed. The question is, what is going on? You're 80 days away from an election, and you're bringing in a new campaign manager? I mean, this is very strange. And it's not clear yet what the story is with Manafort, but in D.C., people are saying that the revelation that it's possible Manafort got off-the-book cash from the Ukrainians, which, by the way, if it's true, would put him in legal jeopardy, of course, but is at best a distraction for the campaign and at worst a complication with their foreign policy messaging. So it's possible that while this is being portrayed as an expansion, whatever that means, and with 80 days to go, that in fact Manafort is being pushed a little bit aside.
So, you know, I'm trying to digest all of this, and then we'll get to the Hillary part of this. So he gave what was called a good speech last night. And just as a side story, Trump will get his intelligence briefing sometimes this morning, which means by evening we should know everything about Area 51, correct?
Right. Well, possibly that Trump is building a hotel there. But, he's going in with Chris Christie, who's the head of his transition team and the general who people were talking about him naming as the potential running mate, who I guess is there to affirm whether or not he's getting actual intelligence or something like that. And, yeah, I don't think the intelligence thing is such a big deal.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It was a cheap joke. So let's talk. It was a side trip. It's just interesting that he's getting the intel. But let's get back. Let's get back to the change in the campaign. Forget Trump's personality. Forget if you hate him or love him. This is a change election. This is a guy that if he was disciplined and prepared would just stay on that and stay on the message of what kind of country do you want? The one that's declining, the one that you have, the one that I can provide, and say that over and over and over again. Part of what I'm hearing about Manafort's frustration was that he couldn't get Trump to stay on a disciplined message. And when you're all over the place, it's hard for the public to grab. And that's okay when you have 30,000 people coming to a rally, but not when you want 13 million people to turn into 65 million people who are going to vote for you. So the question is, will this change, knowing these people, Jack, will this change make a difference? Will it affect who the candidate is? Will he listen to this guy? Because I hear this guy is pretty a powerful, tough guy. And I'm sure wouldn't want to walk into a campaign that is going to lose or embarrass him. Will Trump, is this the kind of guy Trump will listen to if he says, you got to stay on message. You got 80 plus days to stay on message. You can turn this around. If you do a good debate and stay on message, there's a potential for you. Or, Jack, in what you're seeing in the polling, is this almost a lost cause at this point?
Well, whether it's a lost cause or not, we'll get to that. There is no person who could come in and Trump is going to listen to that person. There's no reason he would listen to Steve Bannon more than he would listen to Paul Manafort. I mean, I think Trump has made it clear, and he's actually even publicly saying it, he's just not going to change. This is who he is. He actually, his quote was very much along the line. This is who I am, and I'm not going to change. Now people have to decide, do you want the president of the United States who's acting like this? Because he's not capable of changing, nor, by the way, does he want to change. So I don't think that these new campaign folks are being brought in and things are going to change. And by the way, Steve Bannon and the Breitbart establishment has been very, very intertwined with the Trump operation from the beginning. If you remember that whole incident with Corey Lewandowski putting his hands on the Breitbart writer, I forgot her name now, but, Lisa Field, sorry, and making that whole violence issue, Breitbart under Bannon came out and defended him. They went against their own reporters.
Well, and that's the other part. Okay, that's another piece of this, Jack. So you bring in a guy, Bannon, who's really smart, and he's done finance, and he's run companies and saved companies and helped companies. But the publication that he's the CEO of, Breitbart, has taken shots at Ryan, has taken shots at McConnell, and the elite in the GOP are not embracing this guy necessarily. Does that hurt or help Trump?
I don't think it matters at this point. I have to tell you, I think, unfortunately for Trump, from what I'm seeing, everybody has basically drawn their battle lines, and the Republicans are basically saying, look, I love Trump. Then the Republicans saying, I'm willing to go along with Trump. And then the Republicans are saying, never Trump. And then there are a few who are still, what do I do? But there are not too many left. So I'm not certain that that matters. I don't know what the move is other than the fact that the only thing that makes sense to me is that now Manafort becomes a story. So you need to bring somebody else in so his story doesn't
goes away. I got it. That makes sense. And they are spending the ad money apparently is going to be freed up starting Friday. They're going to be running ads in all of the states where they need them, including Florida. Also, and here's the other thing that happened this morning, and is the Hillary side of it. According to Real Clear Politics, here's the headline. Roger Stone, a mutual acquaintance told me Julian Assange has a dynamite October surprise planned.
Mm-hmm.
No reaction to that? I mean, the emails, what we're dealing with Hillary's emails now, the FBI said they don't want them to be made public. The Hillary campaign is saying, we want them to be made public because we don't want you to pick and choose what you're going to leak out there. I guess, was this dump done, the email dump done, to preclude Putin from dumping the emails if she's made president?
Possibly. This is the classic Clinton document dump. If you remember in the 90s, whenever they were in trouble, the Clinton administration on a Friday usually would dump hundreds of thousands of documents out there, and there'd be one needle in that haystack, and sometimes the media would find it and sometimes they would not find it. So I think that this is likely Hillary's campaign trying to get ahead of what could very well be a number of exposures that are going to be very problematic. But I have to tell you, again, I'm not consulting with Putin, and I don't know what he's thinking, but if Putin is sitting with her emails, and don't forget, she set up this email system, as it seems to have come out, in order to evade people knowing what she's doing, and what she was doing, of course, is selling the government. So there are likely emails in there that are unbelievably embarrassing. If they're sitting in the hands of Putin, frankly, it'd be better for our nation if we got them out before she became president, because otherwise, Vladimir Putin is going to have her by the you-know-what.
But if Putin has them, doesn't that mean Manafort has them, which means Stone has them?
Yes, well, via the Ukrainians. Yes.
Yeah, via the Ukrainians.
Ukraine, Manafort.
So what's going to happen, Jack? What is going to happen? It looks like she's got some momentum, and she's leading, and she's actually pulling off ads in Pennsylvania because she doesn't need them there. That's how assured they are at the moment that things are going her way. But that could change based on an event, based on the emails, based on an October surprise that we don't know.
Right. I think it's unlikely, unless there's something in the emails that's just so devastating that, you know, the clamor to indict and to hang Hillary is so loud that that affects her numbers. But the thing that I think Hillary would derail Hillary at this point, it's God forbid a million times, there's a major terrorism incident in the United States in October. I think that totally flips the narrative, given the fact that Hillary and the Democrats are so bad and weak on these issues, and Trump at least is saying the right thing. So that's one thing, and look, we don't want that to happen. Nobody does. Nobody should, at least. Number two, it's possible that the debates, which debates are defensive operations, you just don't want to mess up.
Right.
And it's unlikely that Hillary's going to mess up so badly as to flip the narrative of this thing. But, you know, you never know. It's going to be Hillary and Trump on a podium for the first time ever together. And who knows what's going to go on there. And by the way, Trump is as capable, if not more, of basically bludgeoning himself at the debates and stepping on his own plans. Then, of course, there is the possibility there's some sort of October surprise that nobody is seeing. Nothing, you know, no one is seeing it coming. But, you know, I don't know. At this point, Peter, these two candidates are so loathed and so hated, and people have such a low opinion of them, that it's very unlikely you're going to find something that's going to move that dial, unless, again, God forbid, it's a major incident in the United States.
By the way, thank you for saying stepping on his own plans instead of the other thing. Talking to Jack Abner about former lobbyists, so we hear Roger Ailes is or isn't helping Donald Trump prep. That would imply that Donald Trump is actually prepping for the debates. Are you hearing that he is? I know Hillary read a story yesterday on the air, talked about how she's prepping, and it's pretty funny, because they got to pick either Carvel or somebody who's willing to get on another podium and go after her about every heinous thing they can think to do that Trump may throw at her. So I'd love to be on a fly on the wall there. Is Trump or is Trump not doing debate prep?
Well, he has to at least go through some motions of debate prep, or he risks, by the way, the leak of a story that he's doing nothing to prep for the debate. The question is anything going to stick in that what is very clearly ADD mind? And, you know, who knows? And also, by the way, Roger, I kind of find it funny if Roger Ailes is preparing for the debate. Is this is a news story that all of a sudden Roger Ailes is helping the Trump campaign. Frankly, if it wasn't for Fox News, I'm not sure we'd have a Trump campaign. So, you know, I think it's very interesting that he's taking the next step.
You know, I don't know, as you had mentioned, I don't know what stories have legs anymore. We're in a whole, here we go for Dino, new normal, Dino. But I saw Governor Chris Christie, the story that came out, the New York Times is just hammering Trump, that Christie apparently gave Trump a sweet deal. He had, I don't want to go through the whole story, but he had taxes that he owed on his casinos, $30 million tax debt. They were fighting it. New Jersey, the state was saying, no, you owe this, you scammed us, you did stuff, whatever. And it went on for years, and Christie became governor, and it was reduced down to like 13 or 15 cents on the dollar. They're not saying definitely Christie did this. Christie, as a matter of fact, saying, I didn't have anything to do about it. I didn't know about the tax reduction. Does this kind of stuff work at this point in the campaign? I know you've done campaigns. How do you know what's going to make a difference to the public? What's going to erode a vote?
Well, in a normal year, something like this would be harmful to the candidate, not necessarily devastating and destructive to the end. But I think in a normal year, it would be destructive and harmful. But the fact is, with Trump, is there anybody who actually expected that he wasn't doing that? I don't think so. So I don't think it really impacts at all. And I think he's also taken the position that, look, I was a rough and tough businessman. I was buying politicians. I was doing this and the other thing. So, again, no news flashes here. I think what this might do, if Trump somehow pulled this off and won, the thinking has been that Christie will become Attorney General. But between this and the new revelations regarding the bridge case, it could very well be that Christie is somehow
tarnished. I got it.
From doing this. Yeah.
Last question, and I'm curious, because Trump is starting to advertise on Friday. How much of a difference, when you see campaigns or you run campaigns, how much a difference does a TV ad make, a TV campaign? Have you seen them completely sway a state?
No, they're not going to sway a state. What they're going to do is they work on the margins and they bring people who are undecided if they're paying attention to it. But it's like a grain of sand on a beach. Bunches and bunches of them provide you a beach. One or two of them aren't going to really mean much. The question is, what's been going on for the past few months? Why has Trump not been out there other than the fact that he doesn't have any money? And are these going to change the narrative? When you have a candidate who every word he says, the media are hanging all over, and they're for wanting him, of course, but is it going to matter that what his ads say when every day he is making something in the news that may not help him? So the question is this really going to help him? I don't know.
It was really interesting to see last night. I try and watch everything, to watch his speech and what he said and try to see if he can impact the African-American community by reaching out to them. And then the big story the next day is big change up at the campaign, which overshadows any positive or anything maybe in his speech last night. I wonder what percent of the American public is engaged and is actually watching all the speeches or just getting sound bites?
Well, I think people are generally probably not watching all the speeches. People who are spending a lot of time watching TV right now watching the Olympics. They're not going to watch a long Trump speech unless they are completely in the tank for Trump already. I think people, unfortunately, generally look at sound bites, and that doesn't give a full picture. The problem for Trump is he has had now a year of creating an impression in people's minds. So it's going to be very difficult to turn around on that. For example, his efforts in the African-American community. If he really wanted to go get African-American votes, then he shouldn't have come out and said he has no idea who David Duke is or who the Klan is. That's when he should have been thinking about African-American votes, but he wasn't doing that. And by the way, I think it's absurd anyway for a Republican at this point in history to spend great time or money on trying to somehow get African-American votes. They're just not coming the Republican way, and they're certainly not coming for Trump. What Trump's got to do is find a way to get the disaffected Republicans back in his camp. It may be too late for that, including conservatives, and then reach out to those who are left in the middle in the hope that turnout among his voter base will be sufficient to overcome her turnout.
Well, it's going to be a long 82 days. It's going to feel like 82 days underwater. Jack Abramoff, former lobbyist, businessman, movie producer, and writer, author of a wonderful book called Capital Punishment, The Hard Truth About Washington Corruption from America's Most Notorious Lobbyist. And it's at Jack Abramoff is the Twitter, and the web is abramoff.com. Jack, have a great rest of your week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter.
You take it easy. And I'll talk to you next. I got to ask you a question. This Ryan Lochte thing, the swimmer in the Olympics, claiming that he was robbed at gunpoint. I'll tell you what he said. We got exactly what he said regarding the robbery. And now it appears a lot of questions about it. If he did lie, why would you lie about being held up at gunpoint, having money stolen, but they left your phone, they left everything else? I want to get your insight now. We'll talk about that and some other Olympic stuff when Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. I was taking a bath long about a Saturday night. Talk Radio 790 KABC. A Brazilian judge has ordered the immediate seizure of Ryan Lochte's passport, claiming he may have lied about a robbery incident in Rio, but Lochte's here, so that ain't going to happen. But why? 800-222-5222. Why would you lie? Give me the reason that Ryan Lochte would lie if he did. As a matter of fact, the best reason that I deem the best reason, we'll get tickets for Yes or the Beatles exhibit down at the Grammy Museum. So 800-222-5222. You come up with the reason that Ryan Lochte, why would you lie in Rio about being held up? You know, Sean, I'll take your call right after the news. I'm going to take a break after the news, and then I'll take your calls about that. A lot of other stories today, too. One of the headlines is America's no longer guaranteed military victory. But there are new weapons that could change all of that. Pretty nuts. I'll tell you about the new weapons, too. But right now, we're going to talk about Mr. Lochte and why he would concoct a story about a robbery if, in fact, he did. And again, the best story gets a prize. Next, here, Talk Radio 790 KBC. 790 KABC. Peter Tillon at 10 continues. A little bit of Olympic news. I guess you heard that Ellen DeGeneres was called racist over a tweet about Usain Bolt. She showed a picture of him riding. She was riding him while he's running, and she said, "This is how I get around now." And people thought that was racist. And I'm thinking, really? If you get offended by a white woman riding a black guy, do not turn on the Kardashian show or watch any of those videos. That's their whole shtick. And then we got Mr. Ryan Lochte, who he's back in America, but claims that he was held up at gunpoint and robbed. And the story's so fishy that a judge is saying, I want to talk to him. I want to investigate this because there's so many contradictions in the stories of he and the other swimmers that were robbed. Lochte claimed they were robbed by one person. One of the other swimmers said there were multiple culprits. They said they can't remember what the taxi looked like. They can't remember the driver. They can't remember the fake police who stopped them. And I'll read you in a moment Lochte's comments about the situation. But I wanted to take the bet. I can't figure out why would he lie? Why would you lie about something like that? Usually it's to basically for self-esteem issues and attention or to avoid punishment. Let's go to the phones. Sean, you're on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Hey, good morning, Peter. How are you doing?
Good morning, sir.
Good, good. I think, being a retired policeman, at least to say that reports or whatever, interrogations, if you lie, you die. And you cut, you really die. I don't know Ryan Lochte. I think he had everything to live for everything to look forward to.
Sure.
I think either he was doing drugs or with his pals, or he was in a brothel. And he can't admit that.
But why? But so you're in a brothel. You didn't get caught in the brothel. This is him.
Because maybe they didn't know who he was.
So it's the brothel cover up. All right, Sean, stay in the line. Maybe you'll get the tickets. Let's go. Nick, you're on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Hey, Peter. Love your show.
Thanks, sir.
My theory is that Ryan Lochte has finally accepted that he will never be anywhere close to the level of Michael Phelps. And his Olympic success and medal count is not going to pay his bills. So his plan B is to write a worldwide bestseller based on the life of an American stuck in a Brazilian prison.
Which may happen to him, except he's over here. But that's a very good take on that. All right, stay in the line. So far, liking that. So let me talk about what he said, and then I'll get to Jeff and everybody else. We got pulled over in a taxi. These guys came out with a badge, a police badge. No lights, no nothing, just a police badge. They pulled us over. This is Lochte. They pulled out their guns, and they told the other swimmers to get down on the ground. They got down on the ground. I refused. Yeah, because you always look at a guy in a foreign country, and you refuse. They pulled out their guns, and I refused. I was like, we didn't do anything wrong, so I'm not getting down on the ground. And then the guy pulled out his gun. He cocked it, put it to my forehead, and he said, get down. I put my hands up. I was like, whatever. He took our money. He took my wallet. He left my cell phone. He left my credentials. So there was confusion immediately between Olympic and U.S. officials. The International Olympic Committee spokesman first said that they were absolutely not true, the reports. Then he reversed himself and apologized. They didn't report the robbery because Lochte says they were afraid they would get in trouble. The organization now has no further comment about that, and this plays into the street climber stuff. But they're now saying they can't remember anything. They can't remember what people look like, the cars. Problem two for Lochte, they have video of the swimmers returning to their room. Remember, there's videos a lot of places in the world today. They don't look far-clamped. They don't look upset. They don't look like a robbery had happened. They look zippity-doo-dah. And they also got in at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So that's pretty strange already. Usually a guy pulls a gun on me. I don't say like, whatever. Okay, whatever. All right, we'll take more of your calls. What the heck really happened here? I'll also tell you about America's new weapons to be competitive. And coming up next hour, you won't want to miss Wendy Simmons. We had an issue with North Korea. North Korea is responding now angrily to our plan to put advanced missile defense systems in South Korea, and their warning of retaliation. They did fire off several missiles earlier this month. Well, they just had a huge North Korean diplomat defect, the second highest official, embassy official. which could be globally really great because he's got information about being inside North Korea. Well, Wendy Simmons is going to talk to us next hour. Traveled through North Korea. How'd she get access? What did she see? How much do they dislike us? How much should we be worried about that? All of those questions will hopefully be answered, but I'll take more of your calls on Lochte next year on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Ryan Lochte gate. I guess you can't put gate on everything. It doesn't work. But Ryan Lochte, did he lie about being robbed? And why would you do that? I guess for attention, maybe? A lot of contradictions in the swimmer's stories, which is why a judge wants the passport, wants to ask him a question. Because if they've been had in Rio, they don't like when people file false police reports. Police, by the way, can't find the taxi, the driver, or witnesses. And an official spoke on condition of anonymity because the investigation is ongoing. They did get in at 6:56 a.m. Sunday morning. That's nothing good happens after 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Nothing good. You're not, like, helping victims of something. And I love that when he had the gun pulled on him, he said, like whatever. And he took our money and he walled it, but he left my credentials. So I asked you, why would an Olympic swimmer, why would a guy who had his own What Would Ryan Lochte Do show on E!, he has endorsements, why would you make this up if he made it up? Jeff, you're on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Okay, thank you for taking my call, sir.
Sure.
Yeah, my take on this is I think Ryan Lochte had spent some time at a location that night, and while he was there had inadvertently lost or left some type of documentation or identification that could positively put him at that place. And it was someplace he didn't want anybody to know that he was at, someplace like a gay bathhouse or really, you know, bad drug den or someplace like that.
So he's saying he's got his wallet, but they just took cash. You're saying they may have taken something else. And when it pops up, he wants to have the alibi. That is not bad, to tell you the truth. That is not bad.
He may have left a credit card there or some other piece of identifying documentation.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I like that. It makes a whole lot of sense if we find out. I think this is not the end of the story. What do you want, the Yes tickets or going to see the Beatles at the Grammy Museum?
You know, I'll go see the Beatles.
Okay, that's a good thing. It's, ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles exhibit presented by the Grammy Museum at LA Live. It runs now through September 5th. Everybody else, you can go see it. You got those tickets, Jeff. I think that is a good idea. And you know what? Nick, also, you made me laugh, Nick, with your idea that he wants to write a book about a prison. So if you want the Yes tickets, they're yours.
That'd be awesome.
There you go. Enjoy. Thanks for participating. The Yes album series, by the way, is at the City National Grove of Anaheim, August 26th. They're performing Drama, Tales from Topographic Oceans, and sides 1 and 4, plus a selection of the greatest hits. So you can go see that or try and win it on the show. Before I break, the Ellen DeGeneres thing is got me. It's, you know, as somebody who writes comedy and has written with a lot of people and stand-ups, Ellen DeGeneres riding Usain Bolt, it's a great picture. It's really funny. He's smiling. She's smiling. He retweeted it, and her comment was, "This is how I'm running errands from now on." It's funny. It's not racist. But, man, I couldn't imagine doing comedy today at a comedy club because you're going to offend somebody in the crowd, and then there's going to be a Twitter storm, and there's going to be an apology, and then there's going to be a lawsuit. This is funny. There's nothing. But he's been on her show a million times. They're friends. And again, he retweeted it. How somebody would see this as racist. But then again, it's a new world. It's a different world. I'm just glad I'm not doing stand-up comedy, because I'm sure by the end of the first set, there'd be protests, and I'd be driven out of the city for saying something that was not racist in any way, but perceived as racist by those who complain. So if you complained about that or find out to be racist, take a second to look into yourself about why that's an issue for you. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Coming up, North Korea's pissed. They may do something nuts. And they had a huge defection. They had a very high up, the second highest official in the embassy, just defected, which could give invaluable global information to us about the insides, the workings of North Korea. But we're going to have on a woman named Wendy Simmons, author of My Holiday in North Korea, The Funniest Worst Place on Earth. She traveled all through North Korea. How did she have access? What did they let her see? And what is the head, the big guy, the big poobah planning for us? Plus, we're going to talk about polling next hour, too. You hear all these different polls? There's one in Washington that will blow your mind. I'll tell you about that. And, of course, we'll take your calls when Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after the top of the hour to hear news on Talk Radio 790 KABC.